now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program, The Earth Devoured. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. Would you like to attend? Write to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Some believe that the progress of science will finally result in the destruction of the human race in a future war. Is this what the Bible prophesies as being the end of the world? But first, these programs of good news from the Bible are brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups, and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Ed, will the progress of science lead the human race to its own destruction?
The Bible assures us that it is God's design that the human race shall inhabit the earth forever. There are, of course, certain prophecies in the Bible which have been misunderstood to teach otherwise. Actually, the word earth is often used in the Bible to denote associations of people or a social order. In Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29, we read, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord.
I can see that just couldn't mean the planet Earth, Ed, for naturally, the earth has no ears.
Of course not. Another good example is found in the 46th Psalm, which, by the way, is another prophecy now being fulfilled. In the second verse of this psalm, the earth is said to be removed. In the sixth verse, it's said to melt. But in the ninth and tenth verses of the same prophecy, we are given the assurance that the Lord will make wars to cease unto the ends of the earth, and that his name will be exalted in the earth. Thus, it is evident that the first two uses of the word earth in this prophecy are symbolic. For after the earth is removed and melted, the planet is still here with nations upon it and God's name exalted in it.
And that is very interesting. Would you say, then, that the removing and melting of the earth, as foretold in this 46th Psalm that you quote, is a symbolic description of our social order coming to an end?
Russell, that's a good deduction. It is one of the Bible's symbols of what Jesus described as the time of great tribulation. The prophet Daniel foretold it as a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. The Bible uses various symbols to illustrate one aspect or another of this great tribulation, such as wind or the roaring of the sea, earthquakes, floods, and of course also fire.
A fire. We know that fire is very destructive. And even though the prophecies use it in a figurative manner, as you state, isn't it reasonable to conclude that the trouble which it symbolizes will result in a great loss of life and great destruction on the earth?
No, very possibly so. As a matter of fact, Jesus intimated that such would be the case. He said that unless the time of this great tribulation were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but Jesus assured us, nevertheless, that this present trouble upon the nations would not be permitted to continue until the entire human race is destroyed.
I see. The thought is, then, that God will permit nothing to stand in the way of the full and ultimate establishment of Christ's kingdom not even the selfish and sinful institutions of man.
Russell, that's the right thought. And as the prophet Isaiah wrote, of the increase of Christ's kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. And the apostle Paul wrote that Christ must reign until all enemies are put under his feet, and that the last enemy to be destroyed is death.
No wonder Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven. But Ed, are we to understand that none of the prophecies of the Bible pertaining to the end of the world refer to the destruction of the earth?
None at all, Russell. The Bible assures us that God has established the earth forever. The Apostle John wrote, Love not the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. And that's in 1 John, the second chapter. Thus you see, John is explaining what world it is that is to pass away or come to an end. It's man's sinful world.
Or man's sinful order of things, social order. Well, I can think of many things in the world today that the people would be happy to see come to an end, such as war, and then there is oppression, and crime, and greed, and corruption.
And what about sickness and pain and death?
Well, you take it from there. That's right. Why, Ed, if that is what the end of the world really means, it cannot come to suit the vast majority of people. I suppose what it really means is a change of rulership throughout the earth, which will result in a new world or new social order.
And that's right. And it is clearly illustrated on one of the charts in the plan book. Notice this, Russell. There are three worlds illustrated here. The first one began with the creation of Adam and ended at the time of the great flood in Noah's day. The second began then and is now coming to an end.
Do you mean that we are even now witnessing the prophetic, the biblical end of the world?
How right you are, Russell. We're living in a transition period leading into God's new world of tomorrow. Just think of the disintegration that has taken place since the outbreak of the First World War in 1914. It is the time foretold by Jesus when he said that the people's hearts would be filled with fear when they looked ahead to the things coming upon the earth.
Ed, the more I think about it, the more I realize what a wonderful time it is in which you and I are living. I suppose it is possible that some who are living today will still be alive when Christ's kingdom is fully established. That's quite a thought, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm convinced of it, Russell. But even those who are not, and this is important, even those who are not will have an opportunity to enjoy the blessings of Christ's kingdom.
Well, let me ask, how would that be possible?
Because the dead are to be restored to life.
Oh, I see.
Now, this is the great hope of the resurrection set forth so prominently in the Bible.
Will all the dead be restored to life?
Yes, yes, that's right. Not all at once, of course. The Bible speaks of the first resurrection, and those who come forth from death in the first resurrection, the Bible tells us, will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. These are the footstep followers of Jesus during the present gospel age, as shown here on the chart in the plan book. They will be rewarded with spiritual or heavenly bodies. Now, the prophets and other servants of God during the past ages in his plan will be restored to life as perfect humans and will serve as the visible representatives of Christ's kingdom.
And finally, all mankind will be awakened from the sleep of death. Is that what the Bible promises?
It is indeed, and this will take place throughout the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
And I have one more question. Will there be room on the earth for everyone?
Yes, Russell, plenty of room. This is a very interesting aspect of the subject. God commanded our first parents to multiply and fill the earth. This command will be carried out. It would be strange if God designed that his human creatures might live forever on the earth and then found that there would not be room on the earth for them. God is too wise for that. And now, Russell, will you tell our friends about the plan book and how to get a free copy?
I will be glad to do that, Ed. How wonderful it is to realize that while all human plans are failing, God has a plan. And friends, your hope for the future will be made brighter by reading God's plan. And so you are invited to send for God's plan today. The prophetic end of the world does not mean the destruction of the earth. There is a glorious hope of life after death. There will be a resurrection of the dead, you know. There is to be universal and lasting peace because God's plan will not fail. Now, these are some of the practical facts set forth in God's plan and proved by the Bible. So send now for your free copy. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, it is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the plan book, and it will be mailed to you free and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.